Brass Stacks, good morning.
Morning, Dennis.
Hey, morning.
My issue today is the Caribbean, the thing that I get from the accreditation council as an artist. Mm-hmm. NCF had a webinar with NCF about a month ago. I think I was exactly what time. I didn't really go to the, but I listened to the video on YouTube. And I was ecstatic because I said, well, as a craft person, I'm going to be able to get a CARICOM certificate so I can work over to the Caribbean. I called the accreditation council and they're saying, to have this certificate, you have to have a degree.
In what?
And whatever field you want to have the certificate.
So if you want to get a certificate because you create leather shoes if you're a leather craftsman or because you carve wood into salt and pepper shakers, you have to have a degree in what? Carvology?
You have to have a degree, yes. You go to University of the West Indies.
To learn how to carve, birds out of coconut shells?
Yes, you have to have a degree.
Okay.
I've been doing my craft though over 33 years. They told me I have to have a degree.
I find that strange.
I find that to be quite interesting.
Yeah, I think so,
too. One gentleman there, he was saying that he's going to try to see what he can do to get back to me. But I wonder if this is all over the Caribbean because, if I thought when I first heard the thing, they said, if you work in your field for over a month of years, they will give you a test, some sort of test, to prove that you're competent at what you're doing, and then they'll give you the certificate so you can work to the Caribbean. I don't know. Maybe the creatures council will call it and defend what he said because I find it to be quite interesting. I don't want to see the other word I want to say. Why would you do it? I'm doing my thing 33 years. They ain't got nobody in barbers that can weave. I can boast for this. That can weave like me. I created what the kind of weave that I do. I created myself. I learned to weave at the IDC. And the kind of things that I do know, I created myself, Dennis. I've been doing things over 30 years, 32, something like that. But I need to go to university now.
To get a skills certificate?
Huh?
To get a skills certificate?
Yes, to get a skills certificate.
Yeah, which is why I stress the word skills certificate because I find
skills
it all.
Certificate.
So, I am amazed at this whole question of moving and working through the Caribbean is
a joke.
Is a contentious issue for me at all sorts of levels. I listened to a Sunday Brass Stacks program that discussed CSME and CARICOM.
You take
the issue of the Liat pilots. Here you have people who worked throughout the region, transporting people from one island to the other, safely, I might add, had a good safety record. They had a reputation for being late, and as usual, we criticize the things that are ours, but they were hardworking people at all levels, from the stewardesses to the maintenance guys to the security guys, everybody. You have one government in the Caribbean that made a decision. You had pilots who said, look, we are Barbadians, we're working, but we would like to send our money to Barbados to pay our NIS, to pay our whatever it is, so that when we retire, we could get it. And they said, no, you have to do it in Antigua. And then we cut them off. If we do that at that level, and it's not fixed, then what is the point of saying you have a regional entity? There are people who work at the Caribbean Development Bank who work in Barbados, but send their money to Grenada, to St. Kitts, to Nevis, Antigua, wherever they have a home or a family to take care of. And it's done. It's facilitated by the Caribbean Development Bank. So why it is some people could do it and some cannot? Now, if you have a skill, our fishermen who fished for years, whose children, grandparents have fished for years, built their own boats, they have a skill. They didn't get it at the university. So if I want to fish in Antigua or St. Lucia or Trinidad or wherever, And you're telling me I have to have a degree to get a skill certificate to fish?
Yeah,
that ain't making sense.
You have to have a degree.
So that ain't making sense. They told you that? The accreditation council told you so?
That
the only way you could get a skill certificate, sir?
Yeah.
I take your word for it, but it boggling my mind.
They said if I go to the TVET council, mm-hmm. and get a grade two certificate, then that would suffice for the degree. I said a CXC in art and craft, CXC. I thought that would have some sort of bearing. They said no, that's not enough. You have to have a degree.
I will wait on them to tell me that's not true. But I can't figure that out at all. I don't get it.
Well, I can't figure it out myself. If you are a carpenter, mm-hmm. if you're a carpenter, Dennis, mm-hmm. if you're a mason, Dennis, mm-hmm. if you're a mechanic, mm-hmm. you have to have a degree.
Sir,
the question comes to call and defend that and say it's wrong.
I wish they would, because
I would love to call and say that that's not true, that I don't need a degree. If you're a mechanic, you work in a barber for how many years, and you work for 20, 30 years, and you have all the tools, you do what you do, but to get a specific, to go to Trinidad, to go to wherever, you don't have a degree.
You can't get one.
You
can't go. I will wait on them to confirm or deny that, sir, because, as I said, boggles the mind. There are certain categories that are supposed to be able to travel and work and with a skill certificate. And they got people in this field, those that you mentioned, all sorts of other fields that I can't see that the university even offers a degree program in it. So I don't know. I will wait to hear them confirm or deny it, sir, but I take your plea the way it was given. Brass Tacks. Good morning.
Good morning, hi. Mr. Johnson. I am a first-time caller. How are you?
I am good. Good to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm just going to get some clarification, either from yourself or maybe even, you know, the listeners. Someone can call in and shed some light. It's about the vaccines. I have a concern. In layman terms, we got 90,000 vaccines. We gave away the 10 from the 100,000. I would imagine it's 45,000 we should be vaccinating. We are now all up in, 53,000 plus? I know it was said at one of the press conferences that you were getting more than 10 doses to some of the vials, i.e. 12 or 13 doses, so you can see where the overflow is. My concern is I got a vaccine. I have a return date sometime in May. Are they giving vaccines all right now from what is supposedly, quote-unquote, put down for all of us who have had the vaccines to get the second dose? Or have they received more vaccines? And if so, even when I go to get my second dose, we don't even know, is it going to be the AstraZeneca or is it going to be something else going into my system? These are just concerns that I'm raising because I'm just trying to figure out how is it. I know they had a cutoff point. A lot of the clinics said they were no longer doing vaccines, yet still every day you can see on the dashboard 1,000-plus people have been vaccinated today. How come people are still getting vaccinated and you know, you're not hearing where you can still go for the ones that haven't been able to get vaccine, people that have registered and never got the call back? I am just trying to figure out what is happening. It seems a little confusing to me that they're still doing vaccines from the 90,000? I am not sure.
I am not sure either, and I'm not sure I can guide you or help you in that because I have no idea whether more doses of the vaccine have come in, whether they're being sourced, whether there is a continuous supply coming in. I know from time to time following the press conferences, I would hear that this has been ordered, that has been ordered, there's been delay in this, there's been delay in that. But I've really not been following the count that way or following if they've been news of updates of more coming in. So honestly, I can't advise on that. Really, I don't know.
Okay.
Short answer is I don't know.
Maybe someone that has more information can call in and share.
Well, somebody sent a message here saying you're forgetting 5,000 from Guyana, which is the point I was making where I said there have been, you know, some coming from here, some coming from there, but I've not been following all the comings-ins. So I can't tell you, you know, how much has been updated and how many more has been received over what period. But if that's something that needs to be clarified, I'm sure the next time there is a conference, it will be raised if it's not answered before then, because it will be flagged by someone, I am sure.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Well, I thank you so much, Mr.
Pleasure.
Johnson.
Good hearing you, ma'am. You too. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Brass Sacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing today, sir?
I am all right, I think.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. I have not called this program for quite a while now, although some people seem to think they hear my voice.
So I smile all the time when people identify callers, and I have a fair idea that they ain't the person who it is, but people are convinced that that's who it is, and they end up cursing the person too sometimes.
But I don't open them back, so you can let that go outside the office.
It's just duck and watch it by.
What I want to speak to today is I enjoyed yesterday's program, because nothing, you see, clarity and having things really understanding what is happening before you come and make a big statement. Mm. Yesterday I heard this gentleman, I think he's a trucker,
who came on
the program,
yeah,
and he stated that he has stayed home to make this very important call about an increase in paying for barrels or something out of the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was accepted. And, at one time, it was as though the government had pushed something onto us here suddenly without any notification, and this was not thing, and it will reduce work with the truckers but all type of things, you know, according to people, he farm for lamb. And as God would have it, a little later in the program, a gentleman, I don't know if he's a customs broker or what, came onto the program.
He's an importer, he said. He said he's an importer. He brings He brings vehicles in, yeah. That's right. What he said.
And he really was extremely helpful to people like me, because he said that this charge has been attached to some form of duty or whatever. And it is not only in Barbados.
No, it's across the Caribbean. He actually sent documents. He sent documents to back up what he was saying. Yes, sir.
Yes, yes. And I was so glad that he was able to come on program and do that, because it appeared to some of us as though this was the most unfair imposition of tax on people without letting us know and this thing. So it was put out. And as if that was not enough, we had the recent blow up about the child at GIS and blah 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 blah. But the active, what is very active, was, and this lady, I don't remember names now, you know, Mr. Johnson, I'm not as young as you, and they were saying all types of things, and the government not looking to do any modifications, and these laws are old and antique and blah. And again, the acceptance and put over her case, she was really very hot and steaming. And I believe there was some gasoline added too. So I said, this thing is so bad, what's going to happen? And as God would have it, Faith Marshall Harris, that's the lady's name. Hello?
So I'm listening to you, yes.
No, that's her name.
Yes, that's
she
her name.
She came on the program. Mm-hmm. So I said, well, these are two advocates for young people, and I want to hear now how they can battle. But you know, within the first 2, 3, 4, 5 minutes, I could have turned off my radio and go on with my business. Because the lady, Miss Marshall Harris, she said it's the first time in years, not 20, 50, 60, 70, 80 years, an attempt was made to regularize the laws and things governing the youth to and GIS and whatever to reach up to world standard. There was it was put in place in 2019, and the COVID came in and had to get priority over all other things. But prior to that, you would believe that, the present government had not given
sir, it. Sir, I wish you would not continue this line of argument, because you're casting comments that really don't gel with what I heard. When Ms. Hines-Lane called and made the comment she made, she never attributed it to this administration. She never did. She raised issues that had been raised before about the operations there. She said things that she had done since she was there to try to rectify some of the problems that were long-standing problems. They were not a reflection on this administration. They were not a reflection on the former administration. And the two ladies were in concert, not, sir, in contravention of each other. So until you get the politics out of our situation.
No, you can't.
So don't tell me no, because I just heard you say it, that she was attacking this administration. She was not. I will stand up for Marshall. She was not.
Marshall was saying that, in other words, you could do something to arrest the situation as is. But the point is that there was nothing written that you could have gone that road to correct them. But when the other lady came, she said that what they're trying to do now, that we're trying to do for years, because these were the laws written, but an attempt was made to rectify and change or whatever in 2019. This is what I heard. And it was most probably put on the back.
Sir, I heard that part of the statement. Sir,
did you hear that?
Sir, you're not listening to me while I'm listening to you. I am telling you, I heard that. The statement that I stopped you from making was that you said when you listened to the other lady, meaning Marsha, she made it seem as though this administration, and that's when I stopped you, because I said she did not. Well, I heard the part about 2019, so I was the producer. As the producer of the program, the only thing I have to do is listen. And that's all I do. I listen.
Let me say this, Mr. Johnson.
Yes, sir.
If you are saying, I am looking at it in the present, and so much was said about what is happening and how we can go about to have it changed, and I'm saying that an attempt apparently was made to have these things rectified in 2019, and the only body who can change is laws and regulations at that level would be the government. You can't change it. I can't change it.
Okay, sir. I thank you for your contribution. 4341-790 Brass Tax. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
I'm here, but you're not hearing me. I'm hearing you.
I'm hearing you clearly.
Oh, okay. I'm calling about this vaccination system that is going on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I registered on the 15th of February, and I was waiting for call, and I did not receive any. On Monday, I decided to leave home, drive around, to see what centers would be doing vaccinations. Well, I covered 3, no one was giving. I came home, and I called the COVID hotline, and they said, well, the young man I spoke to said that he registered about a month ago, and he did not hear anything either. Mm-hmm. So anyway, he gave me another number, and I called this number. So he said, if you're having symptoms, press 1, and if you want to register vaccination, press 2. Well, I explained to them how I have registered, and they didn't hear anything. So I have registered at this place on Monday, and all I know is I have not heard anything. So I wonder if you have any idea what is happening with this vaccination system.
Ma'am, I have heard the complaints from several people.
Yes.
I have no idea how it's been operated, how it works, whether there is still registration, response, appointments, or whether it's turn up and hope for the best, whether it's listen out to where the centers are and take your chances there, whether it's still persons who are considered vulnerable or general population, I have no idea.
But the thing is, I gave all the information. I told them I'm hypertensive, diabetic, I'm 71 years old. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm an amputee. And well, they even asked me if it would like someone
transportation.
To come to my house to give me. I said, I don't mind.
Okay. You know? What was the answer to that? Did they say it was
done? They will see what they can do.
Oh, okay.
But I know other persons who are amputees that were told that they would come to them about 2 weeks ago, and all they know they have not visited them. So I don't know what's really happening.
Ma'am, I don't know either. And I think what is aggravating the population is the fact that persons are anxious and that they would like to have their anxieties calmed, and they're not having it calmed.
And the thing is, you're hearing about places that have given out certain amount on Saturday and Sunday. You heard about that after it was finished. You know, I don't know what's going on. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for listening to me.
You're welcome, ma'am. And I hope that your anxieties are curbed soon and that you do get the vaccination if that's what you would like to have done. Brass Dax, good morning.
Yes, Dennis. I got a response from the Accreditation Council. They said that I misunderstood them.
Okay, good. Thanks for calling back.
They said that they will call you too. So, we'll wait and see.
The producer sent me a message saying that she reached out to them and that they were in a meeting. I have a professional producer. She's doing her job. Okay. She sent me a message telling me so. So I will wait to see if they respond.
Yes, they said I misunderstand them. So we will see. And I will keep you posted when I get this certificate.
Please, do so.
I hope that other craft persons, the other craft persons who called it, who was on the same webinar.
But let me ask you this question now that you call back, right? There's specific countries that you all want to go into work, you and these other craft people, or you just want to generally travel with your work? Which is it?
Well,
that's what I'm trying to find out.
It's both.
Okay.
Like me, I live in Trinidad for a little while,
mm-hmm.
and I would love to go back to Trinidad with my work and to work.
Okay.
And the other places that I think I can go to let people see what you do. Weaving is a fantastic thing,
mm-hmm.
and I went to Cari Festa in 2019.
You actually show them the loom and stuff, right?
And I carried loom with me.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
And people were ecstatic.
Lost
so some person wanted me to come back there to do some weaving and stuff. And I know I'm hoping to go to Antigua. Antigua supposed to be said was going to come off,
mm-hmm.
but I prefer to go to Antigua. And I normally carry my loom with me because a lot of people who never seen loom, I've seen loom really in life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when I go to different places, I carry my loom. So I do demonstrations and that kind of thing. So I will. Dennis, I am dyslexic, and I have many chances I have. I do all kinds of stuff again. I think it's much ready for other person members because I speak out. So I will see what happens with this because I do. Dennis, I don't care. I just speak.
Is that the Caribbean has a rich tradition of craft. If you go to Antigua, there's a vibrant Haitian population there.
Okay.
And they do craft work. Dominica, you have the Caribs. They do great work as well. Hammocks that they've crafted and weaved and knitted. And I mean, really, really nice work. If you appreciate art, you get... The Haitian community in particular, they're big on art. Yeah, they're big on art. So this history of, to me, Caribbean arts or crafts, people being able to mingle and mix and share their various influences and cultures is something that should be encouraged rather than discouraged.
Easy.
Yeah, it should be easy. Unfortunately, yeah, what should be easy is not so. Yeah.
I heard Peter Vickham speak about some stuff that he has to do, and he with a degree here at Jumped Through So Many Hoops. And so I wasn't surprised, but I am going to keep you posted. Let's see what happens here, Dennis, because we need to do something better than this for our crafties in the Caribbean. Thank you.
I agree, sir. And you'll keep me posted. And I'll wait to hear from the council members after their meeting.